Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Leap year? Use that extra day wisely. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, the HSE confirmed this afternoon that while 65 people have been tested for coronavirus here, to date there are no confirmed cases. However, according to the Irish Times, the Department of Health is looking at legal changes that would allow for the forcible isolation of people carrying the COVID-19 disease should the need arise. This afternoon, Dr. Mike Ryan of the World Health Organization gave an update on the situation in China.
This increase that you've all seen in the last 24 hours is largely in part down to a change in how cases are being diagnosed and reported. So in other words, in Hubei province only, a trained medical professional can now classify a suspected case of COVID-19 as a clinically confirmed case on the basis of chest imaging rather than having to have a laboratory confirmation.
I'm joined by Dr. Killian Gaskin, now Director of the National Virus Reference Laboratory at UCD. I know, Killian Gaskin, they have changed how they are counting figures, but we are talking, are we, at this stage of something of the order of 46,000 laboratory confirmed cases.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for having me on the show. Yes, that's where we are at the moment. And I think the heightened awareness, I suppose, overnight has come from the fact that the Chinese have now started in Hubei province reporting clinically diagnosed cases. So in the context of an outbreak, that wouldn't be an unreasonable thing to do. If you look at our own sort of approach to seasonal influenza every year, the influenza-like illness rate that we report is actually based on clinical diagnosis in the general practice surgery, if not based on laboratory-confirmed cases. I think what's, I suppose, been disappointing perhaps this morning is the fact that we weren't aware as a global community, if you like, that the Chinese were counting numbers in this fashion. As I said, it's not an unreasonable thing to do. It just would have been nice to be aware of the true numbers rather than just looking at laboratory-confirmed cases.
What were they doing again? Because one would have thought that all confirmed cases would be counted regardless of where they were confirmed.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. So they've obviously been diagnosing cases based on sort of the clinical history, based on the exposure and based on the chest x-rays or CT scans of the chest, as Dr. Ryan alluded mm-hmm. to there. And then these patients wouldn't necessarily have had a sample sent to the laboratory and therefore wouldn't necessarily have tested, wouldn't have had a positive test for the new virus. So in China, they've obviously been counting these figures, but the figures that they've been sharing with the rest of the world to date, i.e. to the WHO and to ECDC, have been the laboratory-confirmed cases only. So it just, I suppose, adds to that suggestion that we may not have had the full picture of what exactly was happening on the ground in China.
Raise the issue now, do we still have the full picture of what's going on? I want to talk about this case in London, a confirmed case. A woman turned up at a hospital in Lewisham in an Uber taxi. She'd fallen ill. Now we have two staff at the hospital in isolation. And this is the sort of situation that can happen here or in London or in any city. And it's a difficult one to avoid, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. It obviously comes down to human behaviour, and I think it comes down to the importance of the messaging that we want to get out to the public. And obviously we need support from the likes of yourselves in the media to try and get that message out to people that if they have returned from mainland China in the last 14 days and they develop symptoms, that we want them to engage with the healthcare service first over the telephone. So they can telephone their GP or they can telephone public health directly, and then the next steps in the process will be decided for them from there. So what we want to try and avoid is the situation where somebody feels sick and thinks they've done the right thing by going to hospital and by presenting themselves for care. But in actual fact, we just want them to coordinate that process a little bit better by contacting public health first or contacting their GP and then being directed to the most appropriate location where they can have the testing done, and then they can be sort of held down until the result is available for them to decide whether they need additional care or whether they can be discharged home.
Because I suppose in a situation like happened this woman, you could knock out an entire primary care centre, for example, or knock out an emergency department if you were there, because you could be sitting there for some time waiting to be seen.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think that's what we're trying to avoid. So that's why we just want people to sort of, as I said, identify themselves early, as I said, for that's to public health or whether it's to the general practice. And most of the hospitals now have sort of dedicated sort of clinical leads for this new disease, and they have a sort of dedicated facility. So if somebody has been identified to them in advance, they can sort of bring them through sort of a parallel pathway when they get to the emergency room to minimise that risk to the other patients and to minimise that risk to staff. So it can all be sort of managed in a very controlled setting and in a controlled manner. But as I said, we do need to try and get the message out there, and as I said, we need support from the media to reinforce that message to people.
This report that the Department of Health is looking at legal changes to allow for forcible isolation of people carrying the disease, is this a necessary change here?
I suppose it's obviously a last resort, and I think the majority of reasonable people, if they were diagnosed with the new coronavirus infection, would quite happily sort of wait in hospital to be managed and treated appropriately. But I suppose we do have to prepare for every eventuality. There is already a provision in legislation for the Medical Officer of Health to detain people in certain situations if there's a greater risk to the population at large. And that, you know, we've seen that in the past in the context of, say, things like multi-drug resistant tuberculosis and other infections of that ilk. So okay. The power already exists, but the problem is because the legislation is old and because this is a new virus, it by definition can't be already be included in the legislation. So there may need to be an amendment just to clarify things. But as I said, it's very much a last resort, and we don't have any plans of forcibly detaining anybody anytime soon.
Are you adequately resourced in your laboratory? Because you're the testing centre. If we have more suspected cases, have you got the resources to hand?
Yes, we have. So at the moment, what we're doing, we're testing on a daily basis, but obviously we're keeping the numbers under review, and we will escalate that as needs. So we would increase the amount of testing done locally. And if, for example, we were to get to a situation where the virus was spreading sort of widely and easily in Ireland, then we would probably work with the Department of Health and our colleagues and other laboratories around the country to roll out testing to other centres. But at the moment, that's not necessary because the number of tests that we're doing is actually quite small.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Killian de Gascon there from the National Virus Reference Laboratory at UCD.